Hey now, and welcome to the City Off Campus podcast with your two favorite hosts, Sammy Sommerfeld and Jack McFarlane. So before we introduce today's guest, who's been a repeat, I just want to say, guys, we're on summer break. I'm super pumped to have no school, hence the virtual background, Jack. I mean, I'm home back in Naples, so had to do the beach background just for old time's sake.
Maybe next time you actually go to the beach, you fake Floridian.
Well, going to the beach tomorrow, so I'll send you some vids. But now to introduce today's guest, we got Iowa baseball player and a friend of the pod, Ty Snapp. So, Ty, let's go into a little bit of Iowa baseball talk to start off the pod. So, tell us where everything's at right now.
Yeah, I mean, right now we're getting ready to get into our last weekend of the regular season here and kind of see what happens going forward from there. We're not really sure what a postseason looks like at this point, but we're just kind of waiting to see how things play out.
Fair. Yeah. Me and Jack. Oh, Jack, you know what? We haven't done a baseball pod where we talked about our game experience.
No, we haven't talked about it.
Jack and I went to an Iowa baseball game. We went to the Penn State series in Iowa City the last like full week of school before summer. Then I went to Wrigley Field. So, I mean, Jack knows the best major league ballpark of all time, but but we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I have to say, Iowa baseball games are one of my new favorite things. Like, me and Jack had a phenomenal time. Like, we were enjoying it. Jack was trying to get some bids in for Barstool. He failed like astronomically at that.
God, I was trying so hard for that. But every time Peyton came up, I had the best view of him in the batter's box. I tracked the ball the whole way. He took one to like deep
dead center. It was toward the wall.
Oh, my God. And I caught the whole thing and he didn't get it. So I was a bit rattled. But in all, it was, like Sam said, a phenomenal time. And the cherry on top, there were dogs at the park. So
yeah,
confirmed, dogs are allowed.
And then the other thing too was, do you know who that bat boy is, or the manager who was like running for balls like all the way down to the outfield? Because me and Jack fell in love with that kid.
He's a man.
He is electric. Like, when he was running down the foul line, oh my God. Like, that was one of the best parts of the game. Like, it was a good game, but like, not to take away from the players, but like, I would go back just to watch him catch balls, to be honest. Like, him chasing down foul balls was electric, intensified. Like, we were enjoying the whole thing. Like, it was great.
I'm happy you enjoyed it. Yeah, dude, John's hilarious. He comes out there and just gives every ounce he's got into getting the foul balls and taking care and doing those things. He's awesome.
What does he do when he's not getting foul balls on game day?
I believe he works at Shields, and he's the bat boy for the Colonels as well.
Oh,
a Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
You guys have. This guy is multi-talented. He's what, a 3 or 4 tool player now? Like, he's got skill sets?
He's a professional at what he does.
Yeah, consummate professional. Yeah. We need more of those guys. Yeah,
professional. But, I mean, me and Jack, I mean, one thing we loved about Iowa baseball too was they don't milk you for the dollar like Iowa football does. It's a free game. You get to go. You get to chill. Like, me and Jack were like, we'd go just chill, do a little bit of homework, maybe do a pod while we watch the game. Like, it's just a great environment. Like, people are passionate about Iowa baseball. Then there are the little kids in the stands, like, just there for the popcorn, but it's great. It's, like, fun to see. Like, it's just a great environment to watch a game.
You know, I'm thinking sometime next season we could maybe try and sneak a little microphone into Ty's jersey, and then we could just have him mic'd up the entire game, and he'll completely forget about it. Yeah,
spring training.
Yeah, he'll completely forget about it, and we'll catch some hilarious sounds and bits, I'm sure. But I think we could get away with it. Like, who in their right mind is going to look at someone and be like, "Are you wearing a mic? Like, are they even going to care?" Probably not. True. So I think we have some great black content
jerseys
on the way.
Dude, if it's black jerseys, fits right in.
Are you on board with this? Like, I don't want to, like, just shove a mic.
I'm all over it.
I think we got to get the pitcher mic too, though.
Yeah, well, let's get everyone mic'd. Let's just get the whole team mic'd. Just
mic the whole team.
I'm down.
Let's do it.
And the other thing, you said the home run celebration you guys had doing the dunk on the mini hoop. Electric, absolutely,
absolutely
banana lands
electric
when that happens. That's got to be. I don't know how many other schools do the little mini hoop basketball dunk, but I think that deserves a spot somewhere on ESPN someday. If they could ever catch a highlight of you guys doing a between the legs 360, whatever dunk on the mini hoop, that could make it. But I feel like my only gripe with it is it was the same dunk every time. Like we gotta switch it up. Like there's okay. too many right hand tomahawks. Maybe we'll go with the left hand. Maybe I don't jump from the foul line like Jordan in the dugout. Yeah. Or no, you're on the field, right? You're on the field. So I don't know. Maybe just switch it up.
Jack, you're not talking. Oh, go ahead, talk.
So I like where you're going with this. I'm gonna have to. I'll let the guys know. We got to add a little more.
Yeah, I mean the fans love it, but like it's like a dunk competition. They don't want to see just tomahawks.
No, yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
Now the thing that Jack probably didn't tell you, Ty, was he was a big fan of the walk-up songs. Like a big fan. He was singing along at times, like kind of moving his body a little bit, dancing. So Jack, you gotta tell us, like, what are some of your favorite walk-up songs? Like,
okay, well, before I even tell you my favorite ones, what's your walk-up song? Because I haven't heard yours.
Mine?
Yeah.
Mine is Had Me by Halftime and Morgan Wallen, right where it talks about 16 home team jersey on at the beginning of the chorus.
Wow.
So number 16.
Did you take 16 knowing that you could completely do that?
Like, no, like, they gave me 16 when I got here and I was looking for a walk-up song and I was like, this is money.
It couldn't have worked out any better. But off the top of my head, Peyton Williams with Big Papa. I don't think there's a song that you could better encapsulate what he is, who he is.
My favorite one was the Sosa.
Yeah, obviously Matt Sosa with Love Sosa. He's got it. But my question with that, was he allowed to have that right away? Because I feel like having the name Sosa and the song Love Sosa, there's like a lot that comes.
Yeah, we were talking about that at the game.
Is that something that he was just like, I don't know if you know this, but he was just allowed to have right away? Or was it something he had to earn with the Love Sosa walk-up
song? Was it given or earned? That's the best way to frame the question. Given or earned?
I mean, I'd like to think it's earned, but at the same time, I really wouldn't know how. I wouldn't know how we would go about that. He was here before I got here because he's 4 years older. But I'd like to say he probably earned that one.
What's your favorite walk-up song on the team?
Ooh. I like Ben Norman's a lot. Live Your Life. Just get the day off, starting off easy.
Have you heard one? Low energy. Have you heard one while you've been at another school, another stadium, and you're just like, some kid just had an absolutely treacherous, terrible one. You're like, why? Like, maybe someone came up with the Lion King, like the Circle of Life or something. You're like, what the hell is this kid doing?
Well, we've had some where we've been on the road and we've all kind of looked at each other and been like, that was stupid.
So when you hear another player's walk-up song and it's really dumb, do you judge their game as well?
I mean, in that initial moment, I mean, yeah, you're just kind of like, well, here's an out. But that's never in your own mind, like with your own confidence, you're just like messing around. It's like, yeah, but I mean, truly no, but it's fun to think that you might. Sorry, there's just sirens running by my house right now.
No, it's fine. They're heroes. Thank you for what they're doing. Yes, thank you. That was well timed. America does need farmers as well. That's good.
We do. Yeah, no, I mean, with the walk-ups though, like, it's all fun, and it's one of those things where, like, if it's really bad, it's just like, that was dumb. Pick something else.
Has there ever been one where you want to have it as your walk-up song, but you just know there would be no way it could fly?
I've definitely heard, for me, like, a lot of it's like, I've definitely heard songs, I'm like, this would be sick, but it's like, I just don't know how I would personally, like, handle myself mentally walking up to the plate hearing that song play for me.
Is there any that you could give as an example? Because I have one that comes to my mind right away if I was a baseball player right now that I would choose.
I don't know if I have any off the top of my head. I'm very, one of my walk-up songs, I'm very like, I just like to go and be relaxed, so I'll always use like country or something chill.
And what about Pocket Full of Sunshine by Natasha Bedingfield?
Oh, is that what you would use?
I'm not saying it's the one I'd use. I'm just asking if you'd use it.
I don't think I'd use it consistently. I think for a game or something, I would be fine doing it.
I think another one that would be borderline, but could be a banger depending on the mood, is Let It Rock by Kevin Rudolph and Lil Wayne.
Oh, yes. I've thought about that one actually before. I think
that song goes really hard, and I think people they'll get caught in that. Oh, it's such like a middle school, like that was what I was rocking to. No, like Let It Rock is one of those. But what part would you do? Would you do like where he's like Let It Rock, or would you have Lil Wayne's rap part where you don't even know like half of what he's saying?
I'd probably do more towards the chorus.
Yeah, probably.
Definitely more towards chorus, a little simpler.
Okay, so one thing I wanted to know, and I'm going to go into a quick story here, is when you complete an out, like if you have the ball after three outs, do you ever toss it up to the crowd at all, or are you guys not allowed to do that?
We haven't to this point, but also we haven't played many crowds, and at banks, there's really no, like, I'm not going to throw it over the backstop to like get it to a kid. Fair, so like it's not fair, like
just yeah, like, launch it over.
I mean, like, if we played like a, I'm sure if we played like a real, like if you play in Omaha and the place is packed and whatever, and you catch the last ball in your left field, you're tossing that thing up.
Okay.
But I mean, to our experience this year, like, no, not really. It's a little challenging when there's no one down the lines, and like for me, if I'm catching, I just roll it back out there. I don't turn and launch it in the stands.
Okay, so I was at beautiful Wrigley Field last week. Watched Schwarber and Lester's great return. They lost. Schwarber hit a home run. That was electric to see because we still beat them. But when I was at Wrigley, my buddy who I was with, his name's Ben Udell. I'll put him on blast because he deserves to be blasted for this. He calls Nico Horner up for a ball, okay? Nico Horner throws it up over the netting. We're on the first baseline, okay? He puts his hands out like this to catch it, okay? Like this, dude. And and I am like, oh my God. Like, he has,
you know what? It's
horrible form, but he has to catch it, okay?
Ben, he honestly would have been better just bringing his baseball mitt to the game.
I told him to bring it. Well, guess what? So he dropped the ball prior that Rizzo threw up to him, and he claimed his hand hurt because after the ball hit, he's like, my hand hurt. I couldn't catch it.
Oh my
so, God. He has his hands like this, okay? The ball hits in between the two, like dead center of both hands, okay? Deflects off it, rolls to the row in front of him. He loses the ball, okay? Our entire section of Wrigley Field starts laughing at him. And I take video, of course, and start heckling him. And we had buddies who were like 20 rows back from us and a few other friends around Wrigley. And people are texting us in group chats. Did Ben just drop the ball? Did Ben just drop the ball? Like, he dropped a toss up that Nico Horner lobbed up. We were five rows from first baseline, basically. Just lob. It's an absolute lob. Cups his hands like this and drops the ball. If you saw a fan drop a ball that you hit at their hands, what would your first thought be?
I like a kid our age.
Yeah. He's graduated, by the way. He's not even our age. He graduated college.
So like just a guy in his 20s, I'd be like,
yeah.
I think I'd just be like, come on, man. Like, what are you doing?
I'd ask him if he ever played a sport with a ball in his life, and if he ever caught it like this.
I probably would have been like, hey dude, bring a glove next time.
Yeah. Well, you know what was funny? Before we went to the game, one of our friends was like, hey, maybe you should bring a glove this time, because he kept saying, he's like, I'm going to get a ball this game. I'm going to get a ball. And I'm like, sure, whatever. Sure, you will. And then the ball comes, and literally there's video in the back of the video. People were swiping up on the video to point out the fact that everybody behind us were laughing at him.
Oh, see, like that moment sounds like something that definitely should have been on camera for the Marquee Network to put on TV.
It would have been amazing. Besides the Schwarber home run, yeah. Besides the Jason Hayward home run, the Javi Baez home run.
Like what point in the game did all of this occur?
This was like third, fourth, fifth inning, somewhere.
Perfect mid game. Just something to keep the crowd into it. Yeah.
I mean, the crowd was very into it. I mean, it's really.
Oh, yeah. Well, they were into it after seeing some 20 some year old drop a baseball from a real baseball player.
Dude, people were. And then we had two guys. We had a father and son, like a guy who was like probably in his 30s and his dad in his 60s, like a seat from us. And the guy just whispers to me, he's like, tell your friend to learn how to catch a baseball. And he just starts laughing. The guy in his 60s starts laughing. Like, they had to turn around. They're laughing. And my buddy just orders a beer after that because he just needed something to calm the nerves when all of Wrigley made fun of him. It was great.
He was probably on Twitter swiping to see if whatever just had happened was making its rounds on Twitter. If he was gonna be the ass of Twitter for the night.
Nah, you don't want to be that guy. He knew once I didn't have it on video, he knew that no one else would have it on video.
God, dude, that's a moment I wish would, like, if I was Ben, if you're listening, God, it sucks to be you. I don't know how you live that one down. That's a story you can't live
my
down.
My biggest regret in life now is that I didn't capture it on video, because I'll just never forget the formation. And then, you know, Jack, you know me, right after that happened, I'm calling everybody I know and I'm telling them what happened, just so he doesn't try to, like, you know, make the story sound a little better. And it was so funny. Like, our friends in other rows were just like, did Ben just drop the ball? And I'm like, oh my God, people saw it from like 30 rows back. It was amazing.
Ty, if you went to a Major League Baseball game right now, would you bring a mitt, yes or no?
Absolutely not.
No? What age do you think, like, that's a good question. Now, like, for you, it could be different because you play baseball, but let's just say for anybody that's in that baseball realm, like, what age is it acceptable to bring a mitt, and then, like, when is it just straight up not?
I think up until you're in high school is like the latest, I would say. It's like through middle school. Like, I could, like, I'm all right with like some like seventh, eighth graders like really want to bring them in. Like, that's fine. Like, once you get into high school, it's like, all right, man, just go enjoy the game. Like, stop trying to play it while you're there. Just
Zoom to a picture of Jack from like 2 summers ago with his mitt at a Sox game.
No, dude, I have a memory. No. I have a memory from a Sox game. God, this was years ago. This had to have been like 5 or 6 years ago. And we were sitting, we were behind home plate, but we were like angled to like 7 o'clock. And again, this was like no nets were there. So this is like when baseball games were actually dangerous. And I don't know, righty or lefty or whatnot, but foul ball hit straight behind. And I had moved a seat over maybe for like the last half inning just to give myself a little more leg room. It was open. And the ball went screaming over the seat that I was just sitting in. And I had just moved out of it. And the person a row behind me got clapped with this baseball. Like, bad. And I was like, that could have been me. And I think now, like, I watch a baseball game, and now that they have all the netting around the field, I used to think like that was terrible for the game, like not being able to throw a ball to someone. But like, you see how hard some of these balls get hit, even just when it's like it hit back. Like, you'll see the people when they're on TV on the broadcast and the foul ball gets hit back on the screen and they all like flinch. Ball ain't gonna hit them, but everyone's freaking out about it. Like, it was, I don't know if I'm on that whole like netting wave, but it's, you know, it could have really saved my ass that night, or not even mine, the person behind me. But yeah, that's the only thing. Like, baseball games are like major league ones, especially those foul balls are danger for some people.
Yeah. You get some absolute screamers down the line. I was at a Sox game a couple of years ago too, and I want to say it was like right when Luis Robert came up, and he just hit an absolute missile down the left field line and just smoked someone. Like, just smoked them. Yeah, they hit it like 113, and it was just like, that was like right before they ended up putting the nets in, and I was just like, wow. That was when I was like, I think nets are not the worst idea.
Yeah.
Because you could pay attention all game long and take one pitch off and then just get smoked.
Seriously, one pitch. And I remember there's always this video that circulates on Twitter. I've seen it on YouTube, but there's this girl – this older lady at a soccer game, and you could just see the cameras perfectly right behind the guy who kicks the ball. And she's like looking down, not even watching a soccer game. Like, okay, I would look away from a soccer game too, even if I was at it, like, who wouldn't? And she just gets clapped by this soccer ball going 80 miles per hour. Maybe, I don't know. She's just, like, you can't add netting to those games, but
no, that's tough.
But yeah, that's tough. I wonder like, do you have any idea what like the exit velo is on a softball when it's hit?
I do not. I mean, I know like I've seen like girls hit them 80s, 90s, probably some hitting them 100 as well.
I just like, didn't know if like how it differed. Yeah, no, I'm sure they still scream off.
I mean, it's different just based on like the size of the ball and stuff, but like, no, I mean, they still hit absolute missiles in softball. Like, definitely you don't want to get hit by those any more than you do a baseball.
So explain to me, I'm going to just like kind of transition this a little. Explain to me how the postseason works with Division I baseball and how, like, once the regular season ends, and obviously this year is an anomaly, like it was only conference play, but in a typical year, like how does like the regular conference play, all of that go through? And then like, how do you transition into the postseason and how that all works?
Yeah. I mean, typically on a normal year, you have your first five, six, seven weeks of non-conference. You get into Big Ten play, and then the season wraps up and the top eight teams would play in the Big Ten tournament, which would be everyone else's conference tournaments are this weekend. Ours is just like the end of our regular season because we don't have a conference tournament this year with COVID. And then the conference tournaments go on, and then there's Selection Monday coming out next week where it'll be – they'll announce the field of 64, split into regionals, and then like wherever – if you make it, wherever you get placed, you go play in that regional. And it's double elimination through there. If you win that, you go to the Supers, play a 2 out of 3, and top eight go to Omaha, and it's double elimination there.
So it's like when they do that whole selection, it's similar to how March Madness kind of goes.
Yeah.
But would you say that like the projections for how it shapes out, and not even just like regionally, but just how like teams are selected, is it as down to a science like as the NCAA has become, where people like start trying to do it themselves and like see the teams? Or do you guys just kind of like sit there and say, well, who knows, like we'll see how this unfolds?
I think it's definitely down more to a science. I mean, there's been projections going out literally for the past 6 weeks that we'll see every single week of like who's going where and if we're going somewhere in projections. And now it's just like anything else, like it's all just kind of, it's kind of eyewash. Like you really don't know until you know. Because you'll have a lot of people, like, I know in baseball that are making speculations based off what they think the committee will do. But only really the committee knows what they're going to do and who they're going to choose and why they do what. So it is still an element of, like, we'll just see what happens.
And then another thing that I wanted to add on top of just, like, obviously College World Series is at the end of this entire regional, super regional. You remember the old Omaha Stadium before they tore it down, right?
Yeah.
Were you one of those where you were like upset that it happened, or were you just like whatever, like it's a new stadium, it's gonna be the same thing?
I mean, I was young. I didn't really, at that point, I was just kind of like, oh, cool, new stadium, like whatever. Like I went to TD Ameritrade shortly after, I think 1 or 2 years after it was the new stadium, and I liked it, and I didn't really, I was too young really to care, I think, at that point.
Did you ever, like, I personally, the only College World Series I can honestly say I recall watching, didn't Arizona win it within the last like decade? I remember they won.
I can't remember what year they won. They have one in the past decade though.
Yeah, I remember it was them, and then I know Vandy got one as well that I was watching. But I don't know what it is or like how you can like grow college baseball, but I feel like there just really isn't that much. There isn't that much exposure for it until you get to these like regional, super regionals. And they really like, they televise a lot of the games, but once they get to that like College World Series, a lot of people haven't seen a single inning of college baseball until those like World Series games.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all pretty school specific at that point. Like, I don't really know what I'd like say, like, oh, people should do this or this. I know, like, it just kind of depends on the culture of the school and what they think of it. Like, I know if you watched Arkansas baseball last weekend, they had their stadium packed with 12,000 people at every game. And you know everyone down there is watching it and loving it. A lot of those, like, SEC schools get really into it. It's just kind of definitely more of like a school culture thing.
Do you have any memories growing up of like watching the College World Series or any teams, players, whatever?
Yeah, my dad was always really into college baseball when I was little, and so him and I would watch it all the time. Like when February would roll around and college baseball was on, that's what we watched. Like I watched so much more college baseball growing up than I did MLB.
Really? So yeah, like what players like did you watch in college baseball? And obviously like you might not have had the eye and say that guy is going to be it. He's going to be good. And obviously not a ton of players from college baseball make that jump to the MLB, but were there any that you watched growing up and you were like, "Dang, like he's something." Like maybe it's just like a Trevor Bauer at UCLA or something like that.
The ones I remember the most, cuz Vandy was always on when I was a little like younger. So, and Vandy was always playing on ESPN or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I remember watching, like, Carson Fulmer and, like, Dansby Swanson was a big one. Yeah,
Carson Fulmer, what a flameout for the White Sox. Jesus.
Yeah, that was tough. Yeah. I mean, that is what it is. Some of them work, some of them don't.
Yeah.
But even, like, guys that are up now, like, I remember watching Madrigal a couple years ago at Oregon State. I mean, Andrew Vaughn's only been in the system for, like, what, 2 or 3 years maybe? 2 years?
One.
Like, he got drafted in 2019, didn't he?
Yeah, he's been in for, like, one. Yeah, and he just hit the longest home run of Aroldis Chapman's career. Like, watch
out. Yeah, and he's, like, guy – like so, I mean, that's a little more recent. But, yeah, no, right. A lot of Vandy guys I remember, like, Roe Coleman and stuff like that, too. Mostly that. And then other than that, my dad – we would just watch everything. Like, everything that was on. We always loved college baseball.
Do you enjoy more about college baseball than watching like a professional baseball game? Because I feel like there is an element when people watch like a professional football game and then a college one, there is that like added passion and enjoyment for the game and the pageantry that comes with a college football game, like at the Rose Bowl. And like you just said, like at Arkansas, they have 13K packed in there. And if they get like ball five, ball six, everyone's letting you know you get there. You don't really get that from an MLB game, but it's the MLB. It's just so the margin of error is so much smaller. Like what do you see is like being just more enjoyable to watch growing up, at least with college baseball compared to the MLB?
I mean, I think the biggest difference there is more like, just like you said, like the passion of like people are like so loyal to their schools. Like you see out here, like Hawkeye fans are so incredibly loyal and like die hard. Let's go Hawks. And you just don't see that as much with, like, professional in general. Like, you'll have crazy fans and stuff, but, like, I think it's just definitely a different kind of atmosphere, more of, like, a pure thing. And from a college, like, I always just enjoyed, like, I just feel like you see a lot more hustle and a lot more, like, true fundamental baseball. Not that it's not fundamental, but that's not what I'm saying at all. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's a lot – I learned a lot more watching college baseball, I think, growing up than I did watching the MLB. And part of it was because I think MLB, they have so many little things they do so well that are so advanced that you don't even realize. And that would even slip and fly over my head. Whereas college, like, don't get me wrong, very high level, but it was just a lot more. Like, I think I learned a lot more watching that growing up for sure.
Yeah. And I was just going to say like strategy with college baseball, you see bunting, mm-hmm. running a lot more stealing than you ever see in the MLB. Definitely. Like there's a lot more action in a college baseball game and you don't see like a pitcher come in and maybe he dominates, maybe he doesn't, but like college baseball teams usually use a lot of pitchers when they're in a game. In the MLB, you'll see like one or two. And then if they're pitching well, that's it. So, yeah, I could definitely see there is that added passion. And then those little things do just get completely glanced over.
Yeah. What are some of the things you've learned from watching college baseball before you even started that you applied to your game?
The one thing is, like, just playing hard all the time. Like, you notice, like, you'll never see guys in college baseball, like, dogging it down the line or not. Like, you're going to see a guy run through the wall and fly over into the, like, fly over the side of the wall before he just gives up on a pop-up. I think that was a big one for me. That was something my dad always like really harped on me on when I was younger too. It was just like passion, no matter what, whether you pop up or you hit a double or what's going on, like you're flying out of the box. And just kind of that like energy pep in your step, which is something I learned then and something we're really big on here now and you see all the time. So I think that helped me a ton for sure.
How do you, when you have bad outings, whether it's a single at bat or if there's a stretch of games where you're just not hitting the ball well, how do you like mentally recover from that or just kind of wipe the first at bat away, like the struggles away when you're in that slump or in that, you know, negative, not getting the results kind of state?
Yeah, I mean, no, absolutely. I think like for me personally, like if I come out and I say my first at bat of the day is a strikeout, I come back in the dugout. I have like a hitting journal. So I'll write down kind of like what I saw, like what they threw me, what I'm feeling, kind of like how I was picking up the ball, whatever, just kind of like write it. And I'm very like, once I'm done writing that, I have I take my few seconds there to like decompress, take a deep breath. And once I put that journal down, stand up, the at-bat's done, because it just doesn't matter. Like, it mattered in the moment, but you can't do anything about it now. And you just got to kind of focus on, like, all I can do is handle what comes to me next. And you just got to, like, never lose sight of the fact that you're the man and no one's better.
Where did that idea for the hitting journal – I'm sorry, but where did the idea for the hitting journal ever come from? I've never – honest to God, I've never heard of that.
So, I know there's a couple guys in the bigs that do it, and Coach Sutherland here had us – like, has kind of all of us – like, we all get journals at the beginning of the year, and we're encouraged to use them. Some guys like them more than others. And like I said, that's kind of one of the things our hitting like program implemented since I've been here. And I think it's been awesome. Like for me personally, it's really good because it helps me routine. And plus, like if you go up there and you struggle or you do great or you're seeing something, maybe you guys tipping something, whatever, you write it down and it sticks a little bit better and you can go back and look at it and kind of see how at bat to at bat went.
And yeah, I like that though, like, because I personally think like watching like an MLB game, you'll see someone strike out and then they go to the dugout and they just start taking their gloves off and they're looking at the field and then like it's nothing. They go sit down. They don't do anything. Like it's all like in their head. They're just so good at analyzing and knowing what they saw and like what they need to fix in their next at bat and how they're feeling. But like, and you even said there are people in the majors that do use those. It's just such an interesting concept because I've never really thought of like people putting it down in the words and then using that as like their ability to shut the door and just move past that single at bat. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, that for me, that's what's really worked. I'll sit there and we'll have all our, like, you'll have your little notes sections and whatever. And a lot of the time I'll just like, I'll write something very simple, just like a quick confidence boost and just go. Cause at the end of the day, like all of us at this level, and especially like get to the MLB, you've been playing the game for 20 years, 20 plus years. Like it's, you're playing too high of a level and like you've played too much to like really get worried about one at bat, no matter how important it is. Like all it is one at bat and everyone matters. And you got to like approach the next one. Like it's like all you got, cause nothing else matters. But once it's done and you just got to get ready for the next one and just keep going. Cause you strike out your first two at bats and you come up in a big spot and pull through. That's what matters there.
So. When you're at bat, how do you read the at-bat, like in terms of pitches or, you know, when you're trying to obviously make contact with the ball, is it more about like where the ball is placed or is it the type of pitch that's thrown? Like what's kind of the thing you're trying to,
I think it definitely depends on
the, and read in your
head. It depends on who I'm facing kind of. So like I'll go up there and I'll have, hey, I'm going to hit and I'm looking for a pitch in this area and I'm going to go with it depending on like, this depends on like who we're facing, what our scouting report says, like what the weather's like, is the wind blowing out somewhere? Is it not blowing out somewhere? Like what am I working with kind of thing? So I mean, I've had a bat, I'll definitely have a bat where I go up and I'm just sitting for a breaking ball. Or like, I know, say I go up and I get rung up on a curveball, the at bat before and kid's got a really good curveball. I'm pretty, and I didn't look great on him in that bat. I can tell you the first pitch, the next at bat's probably going to be a breaking ball. So I'll go up there and sit on it and go from there. And you just kind of play the game and like, continue to remember how you've been approached and just kind of like work with it. And it's not all guessing, but it's a lot of it's see and react, but you can definitely put yourself in spots where it's like, I know I'm getting a breaking ball here, and then you can get the breaking ball and do some damage.
Yeah, that's cool. The other thing I was going to ask you that I meant to ask you last pod, but I was curious, we've talked about before, I think kind of your daily routine, whatever, but I was curious, like, if you're playing in the middle of the school year, let's just say like last spring or whatever, when you guys started to have some games or something, or practices or fall ball, whatever, how do you kind of balance? Like if your game ends, let's just say it's a night game or something, ends at 9, 10 o'clock and you still have homework to do, like, how do you balance that? Cause I know for me and Jack, like we have enough going on as it is, but like, I can't imagine doing a 3-hour workout and then having to jump into school afterwards or before or whatever. So how do you kind of, what's kind of that routine like in terms of school management and stuff?
I mean, most of our stuff we have during the, because our practice and like time slot is between like one and five ish, usually some in that area, however you like manage it around by the time you're all there. So most of your classes and stuff are in the morning. And then you just, no matter how tired you are, you just got to get what you can get done at night. It's very, like, you just have to be, like you said, you just have to be disciplined with your time. you're in class all day and you go straight to practice and now it's 6 o'clock by the time you're home, you take a break, get some food and you do whatever. And you just got to do homework at night and just do what you can. You definitely find yourself in spots where you're not, I mean, you're not going to come home and do 4 hours of homework unless you absolutely have to. You're going to spread some stuff out and kind of very much go at things the way you're mentally can handle it. But you really just got to make the most of your time. You can't blow off nights of schoolwork if you got a heavy week because you don't have 7 hours to do it at night mentally.
Yeah. And I just wanted to bring up quickly, I thought the listeners would like this a little bit. Ty, you're in Iowa City, right? You're sitting out on your patio. So Jax had some memories on the patio. So a little insight for the listeners. Jack and Ty had a little bonding moment a few weeks ago. Do you guys want to share a little bit of that about that?
Yeah, I mean,
it sounded pretty deep. It sounded like they were pretty connected after that.
Definitely. It was like one of those where our souls were, you remember the movie Avatar when like they connect with those animals and start flying and you know, those like the hair connects. It was kind of like us. Like we were just connected at the heart, just watching the sunrise over Kinnick in the Children's Hospital. Me, Ty, Noah, like it was, if Serenity could have a picture in the dictionary, it would be that. It was bliss. It was unreal. I can't put any other words to it. I mean, Ty, you could try, but it's something that I'll hold close to my heart forever.
I mean, I'm honestly just humbled that the feelings are mutual. I wasn't sure you were feeling, so this is great. Good to know we're on the same page, honestly. No, it was beautiful. It was a heartwarming moment, and definitely one of those things, like, you just remember forever.
Yeah, but the thing that sucks, and I said this to a couple of my buddies this weekend, is like when you're pulling one of those all-nighters and like you're up all night and then once you get to the morning, the thing that really like demoralizes you and just knocks you down a peg is when you start hearing the birds chirp and you're like, oh shit, the birds are waking up, like it's a new day. Now, I'm not even done with mine. Yep, that's when you know it's gotten real and you're gonna need to either decide that this next day is going to be a bad one or I'm just going to roll all the way through and hammer up coffee.
I have a question. Was there more chirping from the birds or more chirping from Ty to people that night about how you fight fish? I just want to know. I've heard a lot of things about that.
No,
there's a lot of fish talk that night.
Well, see, he likes to bring that up and it's just like a chapter in a book. You know, it's just, it's happened. And I'm past that chapter. Obviously, Ty likes to bring it up. It's something that he's really passionate about. I he's talked to me off camera about his passion for fish and the aqua life. So, you know, it's not something that I take lightly. Obviously, I've said it's something I regret. But, yeah, I mean, he likes to hang it over my head. I mean, who wouldn't? I used to fight fish. I mean, do people hang over fighting dogs to Mike Vick? Probably not, but you know.
Wow, you just compared yourself to Mike Vick. I mean,
that's
a convention.
You're gonna remotely insinuate the idea that no one hangs that over Mike Vick.
Well, I don't think they do anymore. I mean, Mike Vick's on TV. He hasn't been like canceled in today's culture. Like that's an achievement for Mike Vick. I mean, yeah, kind of a little, but that was like, all right, if Mike Vick did what he did in 2021 compared to like 2010, I don't know.
He'd be eliminated off the face of the planet.
I think he would. I think he'd be executed in Times Square. I mean, I just don't think people would be able to, like, get over it. I don't know.
I think that he was pre-canceled and then reinstated right before, like, people began to be canceled.
It's a good way of putting that, actually.
That's why I'm looking at it. He was canceled before canceling was a thing, and it never stuck.
Yeah, you know, you're the one that brings it up and hangs it over my head. I'm not proud of the fish moments.
Hey, this is We're Sam. Sam it. Brought this up. Sam
hey,
brought
okay. this up. Okay, now changing gears, Jack, I think there was one more thing you wanted to touch on before we wrap this pod up.
Yeah. Okay, so you know the show Family Feud, and you have the teams, and you go against whatever. If you could choose three other guys from the team that you would want on Family Feud that have a decent idea of, like, how, like, they have some common sense. Not like someone who will come up and they're like, things you do in the morning, and they're like I drink a beer. No, like that's not correct. Whatever. I need, like, who would those common sense three people be? Austin Martin and Ben Norman can't be options because I feel like those are gimmies for you.
Those are gimmies for me. Okay, they cannot be options. It's becoming more complicated.
A cup down, Jack.
I'm like mentally going, like I'm thinking right now, mentally going through my locker room, like in like visual of who I would take in this. Who would be good at this game?
No, yeah, yeah.
Peyton Williams would be one. Peyton would be hilarious on that show because he'd be so just like stern faced the entire time. Probably Brendan Schur and Andy Nelson. I feel like that'd be a good group.
And I'm like, you got to give one sentence for each of what value they bring to this family.
Peyton just is like one of the most, like, he's like very like low key, just like very like intelligent, but he'd just be hilarious because he'd be so stern faced the entire time.
He'd be the intimidation factor. Yes.
Okay. And Schur is very like very common sense, smart guy, just very like creative, has like a big personality. Like if you guys, when you guys were at the game, if you saw like the video boards for like a player questions, like he's always got some elaborate stuff coming on. Like,
oh, that reminds me. Why aren't you on the video
board? Yeah, where the fuck is your video board?
I mean, I was a freshman when those were recorded, so company for that.
Oh, so they're older. Okay, fair.
Those were
we were getting amped about that. We were like, why is Ty not up there?
Those were made before the season last year, so like going into like my freshman season. So, I mean, I don't know. Maybe James, if you're listening to this, love to do them. If not, it's all right. that's that. And then who's that? Andy. I feel like Andy would just know answers that we'd have no clue about. And I feel like he's one of those guys who just would know things for no reason.
And then why should you stay on the team?
Oh, great question.
I just should. This is my team.
That's a this is my no, team. See, like, no, why?
Yeah, why?
I feel like I just know
a bunch of dumb shit that you just feel like you would apply.
I actually know a bunch of stupid stuff that there's just no reason I should know some of the things that I know.
Give me one.
Like, yeah, you gotta give one.
I want one. Give them one.
It'd have to be like brought up to me. I can't like just spurt these things out.
You've talked to me about how much you love Aqualife, and obviously, but don't you have like a crazy, crazy addiction to like different types of cheeses? No, like you, I swear. I remember you told me you were like,
no, that's Fenske. Fenske is a crazy cheese addiction.
No, I don't know. Fenske told me you hammer like a different cheese each day of the week.
You're definitely mixing us up, but I mean, what you want me to tell you? What my favorite kind of cheese is? What's your favorite kind of cheese, Jack?
Yes.
Yeah. Guess we've talked about this on the pod before.
Oh, so we did talk about this before.
Well, I don't know if you were on the pod. I just know on
no. I think we definitely talked about this at one point.
My favorite cheese is the most boring favorite cheese ever.
If you tell me your cheese is American cheese, then...
no. Fuck no. No. My name's Jack. No. It's Pepper Jack.
Yeah. It's Pepper Jack.
Oh, that's mine too. That's mine too.
All right. So. Well, see, that's good. I'm glad we have something else in common. That's good. But
finally.
All right. Well, I'm sorry to put this cheese. Like, I know you're not comfortable. I didn't mean to bring this up on the pod. I'm sorry, Tyler. I'll shut the pod down now. You know, guys, I'm sorry this took a nasty turn again with Ty. Like, it's just something that he does. He comes on, stirs the pot. I don't know if we can keep bringing him on.
No, it's getting dangerous.
It's getting very dangerous. We're straddling a fine line that I don't know if we can stay on for very much longer. So,
and we just started summer break. Like, me and Jack have so much content planned for the summer. Like, this is getting dangerous, Jack.
Every time I come on, Jack just makes himself a worse and worse person.
You might as well just bring me a shovel and I'll just start digging it every time you come on.
Next pod when we're all back in town, we'll go dig a grave and let Jack just sit in it.
I'll go sit in it and that's where I'll record. And then every time I say something stupid, I'll just put the mic down and dig an extra foot.
And you just roll over.
Yep, and I'll roll over and just get a little dirty and muddy. This has been awesome. I'm glad that I'm just the butt of the joke and everything at the end of this episode again. It's whatever. I mean, I do it to myself. I hope everyone who has been listening has enjoyed it, because I sure haven't. As always, not the same time, same place. We will see you guys later.